Same as being in the same room in person. Yes, we're all little squares on the screen. But this is a powerful and quite wonderful way of sitting together from wherever we happen to be. Tia, I think you get the prize for the furthest away besides me. But we come from all over the Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, Italy, Nepal, Australia. Coming together with like mind to practice together. So that's the most important part. So let's begin finding a comfortable posture. Whatever that is for you right now, it might be sitting, it might be lying. However, you can be physically comfortable. When you're ready, closing your eyes. And relaxing into this posture, relaxing into presence. And taking a moment at the very beginning to connect with the gratitude that many of you have expressed already, to be here together, to be able to practice together. To have whatever health and conditions that allow that for each of us to be here. This is precious and not guaranteed. And we'll do some Brahma Vihara practice this morning. But before we begin that, taking some moments to rest in presence, to simply and directly receive this mind, this body, the experiences of these in this moment, however they most predominantly present themselves. Perhaps it's the breath naturally coming and going. Or the sensations of the body. Sensations of the posture or the sit bones or the hands. Receiving whatever is predominant in your physical experience. With a receptive, tender, friendly awareness. This breath keeps us alive. this life, this body. We have these right now as a gift. Receiving that, knowing that directly. Knowing that kindly. Each breath, each moment, inclining to this kind presence, returning to this again and again. Knowing each moment. Just as it is, allowing each moment to be and receiving that with awareness. And taking a moment now to reflect on whatever we feel grateful for, whatever good fortune we have in our lives. Doesn't have to be anything huge. or out of the ordinary. Perhaps it's good fortune for health. Or for some simple condition of our life that allows us to be at ease. Or something we take for granted. Because we do that every day, and we can. Having arms and legs that work, eyes and ears that work. A mind that works. Feeling grateful for this. Feeling grateful for Dharma friends and for the practice, and that we can practice. Or for whatever gifts we personally have, whatever skills we have, that we offer to the world. Each of us offers something precious, and feeling grateful for being able to do that. Feeling grateful for our companions in life, our companions in the practice, and at home, whether it be human or maybe cats, dogs, other beings we share our lives with, we treasure. Inclining to opening to good fortune. And beginning a Brahma-Vihara practice of mudita, empathetic joy. Beginning with ourselves. Reflecting on all the gifts that we have, no matter how small they might seem, or how normal they might seem. and cultivating this empathetic joy, this gratitude for our good fortune with a short, simple phrase. In your own language or dialect, whether it be Dutch or Flemish, Frisian, German, Italian, Hindi, whatever it is. May my happiness and good fortune continue and increase. Resting in gladness. For this good fortune. And just as with the metta practice, dropping these phrases into the heart and mind, and simply connecting as we do this. I'm happy for this happiness. May my good fortune continue. Using whatever phrase fits for you, and returning to that again and again and again. And of course, just as I want my happiness and good fortune to continue, so do all beings. Acknowledging this empathetic connection. We all want to be happy, and we all want that happiness to continue. It's a universal uniting attitude we all have. We're all the same in this. And so extending this well-wishing towards all beings. May all beings be happy, and may what good fortune they have continue and increase. Not needing to be specific, but just inclining to all beings everywhere without exception. With this same wish for happiness, the same connection to whatever good fortune beings might be experiencing. May all beings everywhere have ease and the continuity of that ease. May the good fortune of all beings continue and increase. Just keep returning to this joy, this glad recognition that we all have some good fortune in our lives, however small or big. And being happy for each other that that happens, that that simple good fortune is present. And returning to that again and again and again, each moment connecting with the heart, with this gladness. And resting there for a moment, letting that resonate. And again, and again. over and over, inclining to joy on behalf of each other. in the last few minutes of the sitting, returning to simple, mindful, grateful, friendly presence, resting in the moment-to-moment experience of this mind and body, relaxing into whatever we feel right now. Holding experience with care, with gratitude, with interest. Each moment is precious. Each moment being aware and kind. Returning again and again to wisdom and compassion, presence and gratitude. Just receiving and being glad that this is possible. Abhi sata avera hontu. Sabhi sata abhyapaja hontu. Sabhi sata aniga hontu. Sabhi sata sukhiyatanam. Hariharantu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Isn't it amazing that we can do this? That we're all here together, that this technology exists. That our minds and bodies work. And sometimes when we begin to reflect on small aspects of our lives that we take for granted, it just snowballs into this amazement. We take so much for granted. We wake up in the morning and we think, oh yeah, another day. What do I have to do today? We kind of go over our agenda in our mind, our plans for the day. Taking the fact that we can get out of bed and go do that completely for granted. Taking this very breath that keeps us alive moment to moment for granted. Sometimes life wakes us out of that kind of deluded complacency. And maybe we get sick. Or something happens, we have an accident. Our life is turned upside down by something. A heart attack, a stroke, a car turning out of a driveway in front of our bicycle. And we realize, oh, that good fortune. Wasn't stable. The joy of mudita, however, this practice, this Brahma Vihara practice that inclines to good fortune, is it even in the midst of difficult circumstances, even in the midst of misfortune. We can turn to whatever aspect of that is beneficial. This is not something we naturally do. We naturally wallow in, wallow may be too strong a word, but we incline naturally to what's wrong in any given situation. This is our evolutionary heritage. It's part of how we are hardwired, how our nervous system works. If we weren't alert to difficulty back when, a couple hundred thousand years ago or 50,000 years ago, the cave bear would have eaten us. A leopard would have eaten us. So it we're here because our ancestors were vigilant and paid attention to difficulty. But what that does, of course, is we tend to then go to difficulty to the exclusion of everything else. But we don't have to do that anymore. It's actually not very helpful to only be open to what is difficult. That can be very, very heavy. Heidi and I, last, I think it was November, October, November, we were together in Belgium and doing an online mudita retreat. And the two of us happened to be walking down the street one day in a town nearby, and an ambulance went by. And I was really struck because we had been cultivating mudita, how different my response to that ambulance was than normal. Normally, I would go to Oh my goodness, whoever that is, their life is upside down right now, and oh, may they be at ease. It would go to compassion, which is awesome enough, but also really inclining to, oh dear, those poor people. But because we had been doing a practice that cultivated inclining to good fortune, my first thought, and it so surprised me, was, oh, how lucky they are. Imagine somebody in the back of the ambulance in difficulty, but they have an ambulance, they have people in the ambulance, they have a hospital to go to with good doctors and a good medical system that wouldn't bankrupt them. There was care, there was kindness, there was help. Doctors, nurses, physiotherapists, whatever people need, medicine. It's such a different way of holding things. And even in the most difficult of circumstances, finding that little glimmer of good fortune. It might not be much, but connecting with that uplifts the mind. It balances the mind. It's not that we discount the difficulty, but we also allow in what is beneficial, what we can feel grateful for. I came here to Australia and left Amsterdam the day of that huge storm, beginning of the month. And it was an adventure even getting up to Amsterdam from Antwerp. The flight was canceled, the trains weren't running, at least not past Rotterdam. But I made it up to the airport by just good luck. And because I wasn't the only one in the boat. And sitting there at the gate, yeah, the flight was 2.5 hours late, but it was still going. So grateful for that. And it colored my whole flight, even though. Yeah, the flight out of Bangkok was 8 hours late, and pardon me. That gratitude really is like, pardon me. The gratitude for the small things. And especially we can focus on what's difficult. I mean, when I got here, as soon as I got up here, within 24 hours of getting here, I got really ill. Some respiratory thing I'd caught, compounded with simple exhaustion from a 35-hour journey with no sleep. And all I could do was sleep. And there was no energy to do much except press back in being sick and feel grateful for the fact that I was here in this Deva realm. There was nothing I needed to do, I wasn't affecting anybody. I wasn't, there was space here. I could just rest with support, kindness, medicine, a doctor on the other end of the phone. Rather than focusing on, oh, This wasn't the way I wanted to arrive here. And yet, also being grateful for the practice, for the refuge of the practice. And this is something we all have. And I wanted to speak to that today because life is so complicated and sometimes very difficult. Individually, our lives can be complicated and difficult. Health challenges, job challenges, personal challenges, difficult karma and conditions. Collectively, our life can be difficult. And as living beings, as big as you want to get, conditions on this earth are difficult and getting worse. The Buddha didn't sugarcoat this in any way. And this is what I so find to be precious about this practice. It's very real. Buddha didn't say, "Don't worry, everything will be fine." No, the Buddha said, "Life is difficult. Now what?" We choose what to take refuge in. We choose where to put our minds, where to incline our minds. So, just taking the mudita practice as an example, inclining to good fortune and inclining to what we feel grateful for can balance the mind. Having simple presence can balance the mind. Being able to hold it all with kindness, with simple metta, can balance the mind. And knowing that all of these practices, whether it be an awareness practice, an insight practice, or a Brahmavihara practice, knowing that each of these practices takes us right to the center of what we're experiencing. This is taking refuge in Dhamma. And there's a paradox there. Because sometimes what we experience is incredibly difficult. But taking refuge in what is, the way things are, means being able to rest with experience. To know it as it is, to wish ourselves and each other well, anyway, where there's no denial, where there's no pretending, but there's still the well-wishing, there's still that glimmer of gladness. Oh yeah, this really difficult thing has happened, but oh, I'm so grateful you have help. I'm so grateful I have help. Where this really difficult thing has happened, and I don't know about any of you, but I know the number of times I've thought, what would I do without the practice? Well, I lose touch. I lose track how many times I've said that to myself. The practice allows us to be in the midst of what is, with just enough space to be balanced and to not drown in the difficulty, but be able to wish ourselves well anyway. May I be healthy anyway. May I be at ease anyway. May I be safe and protected anyway. Connecting to whatever is arising. It's counterintuitive. But the refuge from difficulty comes from our ability to connect with difficulty with a wholehearted kindness, with that attitude of surrender that attitude of friendly interest. It doesn't demand that the world be different. It doesn't demand that other people be different. This is actually a profound refuge. It's what brings peace in the midst of it all. It's what brings contentment with whatever good fortune we have. And gratitude for whatever good fortune we have. Not constantly needing more. Not looking next door and saying, well, they have that, I want that. I don't have it. No, there's none of that. There's like, oh, so grateful I have this. The triple gem that we take refuge in. Taking refuge in the Buddha, taking refuge in the Dharma, taking refuge in the Sangha. It's easy to chant this to ourselves and not really connect. But this is actually a profound and very beautiful affirmation of our true nature and our true potential. It allows us and reminds us of that. It allows us to connect with that and reminds us of that again and again and again. The teachings of the Buddha and his very example, the example of his life. We take this as an inspiration because he wasn't a god, he was a human being, just like us. And we may think, oh, yeah, that was the Buddha. How many lifetimes? Yada, yada, yada. How do you know? How do I know? We don't know. But we have his example. He did that. And he said to us explicitly, that it's possible to be free from all suffering on account of the way things are. For all of us, he said, if it were not possible to do that, I would not ask you to do that. But it is possible. So practice, he said. Cultivate the wholesome. Incline to the wholesome again and again. Because it's possible to be free from suffering. So taking refuge in that, that bad example. Taking refuge in what is, finding that balance, finding that space that allows us to rest with what is not something we easily do by ourselves. So in order to take refuge in the Dharma, we need each other, which is why I love these gatherings when we can. Oh, it's just such a joy, practice together, to see each other. And the more we practice together, we know each other's stories. And we're touched by that. It gives us inspiration. We know we're not alone in this sometimes difficult journey of inclining to the wholesome, purifying the mind and heart, finding that place of balance where we're not drowning in suffering on account of whatever is arising in our life and in the world. We have each other to practice with, to connect with. The Buddha said to Ananda, who was his faithful attendant and a very human being, he corrected Ananda when Ananda said to the Buddha, "Oh, spiritual friendship is half of the holy life." And the Buddha said, No, that's not right. Spiritual friendship is the whole of the holy life. So, finding inspiration from the Buddha's example and with the support of each other, again and again and again, the practice says to us, take refuge in the Dhamma, take refuge in the way things are, surrender to the way things are. Know what is directly. And wake up through that. It takes an immense amount of patience and kindness, lots of metta. But we can do that. It also takes courage. Because it goes against the stream of our conditioning. It goes against the stream of our culture. What our culture says is, oh, if you're suffering, you just need to buy something. Find something that, makes you happy, some physical thing. Maybe you need a change of scenery, go for a vacation. Or have a gelato, or whatever it is, or a new car, or a new bike, or find refuge in things, in pleasant experience, again and again and again. And of course, there's no satisfaction in that. There's no end to that. That's just distraction. But that's what the culture we grow up in. That's what we're marinating in. Taking refuge in the Dhamma is going against the stream of that. So it takes courage and it takes trust. And this is where the example of the Buddha, our Dharma friends, just looking around and going, oh, okay, I'm not the only one in this boat. And taking inspiration from each other. Each of us, maybe even in the last month, has probably had some experience of refuge where the practice has been such a precious gift in the face of life. Not to take that for granted, but to understand the really profound gift of that. And the courage it takes to have done the practice so that that can arise in our lives. Freedom from suffering. You know, we tend to think of Nibbana as the goal of the practice, you know, the complete eradication of suffering, permanently uprooting greed, hatred, and delusion. And yes, that's where the practice goes, but we don't have to focus on that. We can focus instead on these small moments of Nibbana. And really feeling grateful for that. Don't be afraid to share that with each other. You're not crowing about your practice. You're not bragging about your practice. But sharing with each other is like, oh, this happened. And you know what? I was so amazed. The metta held me. I don't know where that came from, but. You know, any little story like that can lift somebody up. These moments of momentary Nibbana, when we let go of clinging and demands of the world, that the world be different than it is, then we can just surrender and be with it kindly, with wisdom and compassion. Please. Don't discount that. That's the karmic fruit of your practice. And these moments often come as a surprise. They're such a gift. We don't have to strain and reach for these experiences. They happen to us. Munindra used to say, all you have to do is sit under the mango tree and let the fruit fall in your lap. And that was such a beautiful metaphor for the practice. We just have to sit and let the karmic fruit, when it ripens, fall in our lap, as it does. So we have about 10 minutes before the end of the session today. And I wanted to invite anybody who might care to share an experience of this that you've had this month. Not, as I said, to say, oh, my practice is so great, because all our practice is great, but to say, isn't it amazing? And to allow others the opportunity to feel inspired to come to a place of mudita for us. Any small thing that might come to mind, I just warmly, wholeheartedly invite you to share if you feel so inclined. as a gift to each other. These moments of refuge or the practice has been such a gift. Anybody.